This time last year, anything up to 35 pirate radio stations could be heard in London, at least. Then in January, facing stringent new legislation, they stopped transmitting. But now, slowly, some are returning, and they plan on staying. Adam Briggs reports, and I should point out that some of the names in this report have been changed.
I mean, why are they going to lock people up in prison for playing music? I don't know. I mean, it's just fast. We're not murderers or muggers or nothing. We're just trying to play music.
We're being forced off the air by new government legislation being brought in tonight at midnight under excessive pressure from the Independent Broadcasting Authority, the Association of Independent Radio Contractors, and from the BBC.
We can afford to buy a new transmitter every week, and we have about 30 on standby.
The new Broadcasting Act, which came into force at the beginning of the year, temporarily drove pirate radio off the air. Pirates now face not only the seizure of their equipment, but also unlimited fines and even prison. It has also become an offence to advertise on pirate radio stations, thus cutting off their main source of funding. Despite all this, pirate stations are now reappearing on London's weekend wave bands, playing hardcore house and reggae, driven by what they see as the blandness of the legal stations. Life for the pirates, however, isn't simple. Gregory and Dizzy from Pirate Station FM in Chilling.
We get studio bus, they take down transmitters, aerials, they take it away, they confiscate it. There's no return, there's no argument. You go to court, you end up in court with a heavy fine. You can go to prison, but I think the popularity of the station will give us the enthusiasm to come back and to keep coming back, and the sponsors will keep supporting us, fingers crossed.
When we was on another station, we did actually lose 10 transmitters in 2 months. We didn't know when we was coming or going. Like every couple of days was on a roof putting up another transmitter in an area, you know, and it was, oh boy, but we had to keep going.
Community, the people will say which is right and which is wrong.
Whether the community wants pirate radio or not, Barry Maxwell, director of the Radio Investigation Squad, will continue to uphold the law.
Pirate radio is a considerable danger to public, and pirates, although they've got this glamoury appearance, do actually cause interference to safety of life services. I mean things like the airports, the police and the fire and the utilities.
East Midlands Airport has experienced such interference. Patrick Sides is the airport's operational manager.
Going back to April, we had several instances of interference. These progressively got worse in terms of the length of time the interference took place. We immediately contacted the Department of Trade, and their investigators acted with the police in Nottingham, and I understand they actually found some pirate radio equipment which was confiscated. The effects of this interference was that the controllers at East Midlands Airport would have difficulty communicating with the pilots, or vice versa. There could have been a situation in which the pilot wanted to declare an emergency, but the controller could not receive the emergency message.
Is ready for takeoff, number one.
Move out, hold position.
Hold zero dot. Line up and hold zero dot.
Frankie the Unknown from pirate station Innocence 94.3 feels that such interference need not be a problem.
What they should have done is to allocate something like 105 to 108 to pirate radio, but, I mean, policing it as well, making sure that it's sounding okay and there's, you know, just making it sound professional. And that way I think we could all be happy.
Simple. simply losing a transmitter cost the pirates up to £400. And given the further threats of unlimited fines and prison, is it really worth it? What evidence is there that people actually listen?
You can tell by judging by the amount of phone calls that a pirate station will get. Or if you've got a phone in the studio, you've got a pager. You know, the pager will never stop going, non-stop, you know, because the listeners are out there and they want it.
The pirates justify themselves by arguing that they extend the listener's radio choice. However, some say that the pirates in fact prevent choice. Barry Maxwell.
The Broadcasting Act gives new opportunities for people to go legal, and pirates are actually not increasing choice in broadcasting. They're restricting choice by taking other people's frequencies. But the Broadcasting Act gives important new opportunities for pirates, and I think some of them have stopped broadcasting because they realise that if they're caught, they're going to be debarred from getting a proper licence.
The pirates, who fund themselves out of their own pockets and from what they now call sponsorship, which is basically a polite word for advertising, don't see going legal as a viable option.
We couldn't afford to be legal because of all the rules and regulations, the studio equipment you've got to get, the royalties you've got to pay, and the that thing where they pay per household or something. We couldn't afford that. Paul would never get the backers. We can go to some rich millionaire and say, you know, back us for a radio station. You'd probably laugh at us.
Ex-pirate stations who have taken the legal route are having considerable financial difficulties. KISS FM, who started broadcasting legally last September, are listened to by 9% of London's adult audience, but are still £1.5 million short of the £2.5 million they need to make in their first year. Perhaps hardcore reggae and dance radio isn't possible as a legal commercial choice. Given this, Frankie the Unknown and Dizzy remain defiant.
We're not criminals. I mean, what are we doing? We just play music. At the end of the day, really and truly, we are on air. We're on air, and we're simply buying records. We're buying records legally, right? We're buying equipment legally, right? And then we're broadcasting illegally on a free airwave. Who pays for the air in the sky? That's what we're broadcasting on.
They'll never stop the pirates. Equipment is getting cheaper and cheaper by the years. Technology is also getting better. As far as I'm concerned, as long as there's people who are able to build the actual equipment, which there's hundreds, believe me, they'll never stop the pirates.
Well, there you go. They're absolutely right. I mean, whose air is it anyway? If you're listening, any of you pirates, which you shouldn't be, because you should be broadcasting. It's all about capitalism, mate. That's what it's all about. They don't let you have the airways for nothing, because they're out there making money out of it. And you haven't got the cash in order to get on the air. That's absolutely true. I used to be a pirate radio broadcaster myself years ago. I used to have a pirate radio called Breakfast Pirate Radio.
Along with Tony Blackburn, that was, wasn't it?
No, it was along with Glenn Colson, actually.
Oh.
And we were different from everybody else, because what we used to do, we used to transmit on medium wave band, which, for those of you who don't know, you have to have a quarter of the length of your cycle, your broadcasting cycle, in aerial wire.
Mm.
And we were on 235 meters, so we had to have 60 meters of aerial wire, which you're supposed to suspend without touching anything, either the side of a building or... So we used to send fishing lines over trees, you know, and suspend this piece of metal over 180 feet and try and do it unseen, which we did successfully.
An electronics expert as well in your previous podcast.
We used to broadcast outside Hendon Police Training College. That's absolutely true. And from a church in Islington. And the idea of our pirate radio station was we never wanted to be legal. Do you know what I mean? Ours was absolute filth. And we used to transmit on the medium wave band, and we were right next to Radio 3 on Sunday mornings. And that meant all those people who were tuning in to listening to, you know, a wacky weekend with a vicar or whatever it was, would have to go over us and hear us, you know. We used to broadcast the Bent Coppers file and things like that. I mean, we were young then, do you know what I mean? But we had some fun. Anyway, here's a gramophone record by Darren Deer called Just Watch Me.